we make tape because, man, I was involved. I mean, music was part of our life all them years. I didn't get saved till I was almost 38. And I knew I had to get the bad stuff out. Ray Charles could see there were things in my life that had to go. But I didn't know what to do about it. And one of the things that I replaced that was bad music, I replaced it with good music. And that's why that stuff's important. Amen. Hey, I'm glad to be here tonight. It's Friday night. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I wasn't a couch potato when God saved me. I can't remember ever spending a Friday night at home, probably after I turned 17 years old. Amen. I was always somewhere getting into something. Amen. And I'm glad. Saturdays, too. Amen. I might say this tomorrow night, too. I'm glad when God saved me, I still can be out and about on Friday night. But I'm thankful tonight that I'm not in a place where I'm going to wonder what I did tonight, tomorrow morning. I'm not going to wake up with a headache. Amen. Or in jail. Amen. Or in the hospital. I'm telling you tonight, Lord willing, we're in a place, amen, where you're not going to do anything you regret. And if you're not right with God, you get right with God tonight, I guarantee you won't regret it. You might be afraid of doing that right now, but I'll tell you what, you ever do it, you'll never regret it. I got regrets a mile long, but getting saved isn't one of them. And getting right with God, when I got out of sorts with him, I don't regret that either. Amen. Now here's what's going to happen. Here we are. I've got this church here. What state am I in? I don't even know where I'm at. Massachusetts. The parking lot's full. There's people parked up and down the road. And it's Friday. Now, here's what's happening. There's people driving around. They see your little church here. And, you know, there's churches everywhere. That doesn't bother anybody. But it's Friday. So here's what they think. Right now, here's what they think. You guys are nuts. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, you're one of them fanatics, aren't you? I said, no, but that's my goal. Amen. I'd like to be a fanatic for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm talking about sold out. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Open your Bible. Isn't it good you can do that? Hey, isn't it good tonight we can meet in the name of Jesus Christ and open God's book? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's begin reading at verse 31. Acts chapter 4. The Bible says this. And when they had prayed, amen, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's go back up verse 31. Look at that thing again. It says, and when they had prayed. Now, you men did that downstairs before you came up here, didn't you? Amen. And then it says this. The place it said the place was shaken, and they were where they were assembled together. Where are they? They're at church. Amen. And it says this. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, there's a phrase we kind of shy away from as Baptists because there's a crowd out there that talks about that all the time. And truth of the matter is, they don't know what they're talking about. And hey, I'm no scholar. I'm no theologian. I don't claim to be. I don't even want to be. But I believe that book. And right there in that verse gives you the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it says they spake the word of God with boldness. That's it, right there. You get it. You get it. And you'll be like Paul, you won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And like I said last night, some of us weren't ashamed of what we were before we got saved. Why should we be ashamed to be Christians? Amen. Those folks were at church, and I just want to give you a simple message tonight. Now, there's a reason for that. That's the only kind I have. Amen. I'm a simple preacher. Like I said, I got enough sense. I had enough sense to get saved. I ain't real smart. I made a mess. But I had enough sense to get saved. Now I got enough sense just to by faith believe what this book says. Amen. And somebody said, well, how do you know the King James Bible is the Word of God? Amen. I'm going to tell you how I know. I mean, I don't speak any Hebrew. Amen. I knew a little Greek. He owed me money, but I got it from him. I got it. Amen. I don't care about that stuff. I speak English. I'm going to tell you how I know the King James Bible is the Word of God. I did what it said one day, and it did what it said it'd do. It changed my heart. Didn't make a wimp out of me. Didn't make a punk out of me. Didn't do none of that stuff. Made a man out of me. Amen. I took the blame for my mistakes, and I took them to the foot of Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive me, and he did. And he changed my heart. That's all the evidence I need, man. Where I come from, if something works, man, you leave it alone. Amen. Some will give you a simple fundamental message tonight. Now, my pastor gave me something 15 years ago now. I've been saved 15 years, and he gave me something, and it's real simple, and that's what I needed, and that's what I still like. Preachers that'll say something that'll stick with you. Amen. When it's all said and done, you got something that'll help you instead of leaving the service with some impression about how smart they were. You ain't going to leave here tonight thinking that about me. But you might get something God can use to help you in your life. And Brother Eastep would say this to me like this. He'd say, David, if you want to make it, there's three things you do. Number one, stay in the book. Well, that's where we got started. Yeah. Amen. Whether it was a gospel tract or a witness, if you're saved tonight, it was according to Scripture. So if that's where you got started in this Christian life, then good advice, if you want to make it, and I'm not talking about making it to heaven. If you saved that part, Christ took care of. But if you want to finish your course, like Paul did, amen. Then you stay in the book. And then he said this. He said, stay on your knees. In other words, keep praying. Keep communicating with the one you called on in the first place. Amen. It's a crying shame. We went to the Lord in prayer for our salvation, but then we don't acknowledge him in all our ways like we ought to. But then he said this. David, stay in church. Yeah, it is. And I didn't know any Bible when I got saved. I got saved in jail and started flipping through the Bible and ended up in the two-thirds of the way through Isaiah and got into some tribulation passages. And I said, what in the world's going on here? I didn't know anything about that Bible, but I learned some things about it at church. In my prayer life in the beginning, that day I called on the Lord to ask him to save me. That was my prayer life. It all had to do with me. And that's the way everybody prays. Everybody in jail walks around the Bible. Amen. And pray, and young Christians pray the same way. Help me, Lord. Me. But you know what? In church, you know what I learned? I learned you wouldn't have as many things that you need to pray about if you'd learn to pray for others. I learned that at church. Amen. The thing that I could figure out of what he said, even early as a Christian, all them years I was lost If I made up my mind to go somewhere, I went there. And so when a preacher said, you need to be at church, I thought, hey, I can do that. I can do that. That's the one I'm going to preach on tonight. I want to preach on this thought. Why it's important to come to church every service. I'm not talking about why you need to be here, if this is your home church, why you need to be here every service. Dave Spurgeon's here preaching. You'd be getting off easy if that's all I meant. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just going to give you some reasons tonight, a bunch of them. Why you need to be in church every service you possibly can the rest of your life. Now, this is basic training maybe for some of you. There's some of you in here that got that down pat. Amen. Good for you. I'm glad you do. But the reason the Lord directs an evangelist and a pastor sometimes to preach along these lines is because everybody doesn't have this down pat. And sometimes we take it for granted. We go and preach revivals. People don't automatically understand that they should be at their church every night of the revival. Amen. We see it all the time. They'll come on Sunday, and then they'll come on Wednesday, and the meeting's been going all week, and they go, oh, gee. So I'm telling you, when your church is having a function, whatever it is, you ought to be there. Amen. Now, everybody doesn't have that nailed down pat, so if that's you tonight, then I hope this will help you. But I got another reason for preaching this. And this is something we see traveling in evangelism. There's people that had this down pat last year, the year before, 5 years ago. And in the course of traveling around coast to coast, we see folks that were faithful for years falling back and falling away. That's a sad thing. So maybe in here tonight, we'll refresh your memory a little bit. Maybe the Spirit of God will bear witness to some verse that will help you, amen, purpose, repurpose in your life to stay in church. All right? First thing tonight, Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Why come every service? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25, familiar verse. We'll probably start in verse 24. Father in heaven, I do come before you tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for those that have come. Thank you for folks that drove a long way. Thank you for people that drove a short way. Thank you, Lord God, for people that made the time and made the effort to come be in your house tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that they get what they need. I pray and trust to get what they came for, that being a touch from Thee. You are what we need tonight, Father. We're under no misconception about that. And Lord God, I don't have anything for these folks, but I am willing to be used of You to say what You once said, and I pray that's what will happen for Your honor and glory. Bless the message. Bless the reception of the message. Bless the invitation. I ask it in advance. I just pray that You'd be pleased tonight. And if that could be so, we'll be all right. I love you tonight. Bless the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, verse 24. Amen. The passage, the context is believers. Amen. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing for each other. Some of us were good at provoking, amen, toward hate and bad works. Amen. And then some of us, we weren't provoking much anybody in any way because our whole life was consumed with ourselves. But whatever the case and wherever God found you or saved you from, if you're a believer tonight, The admonition is to you, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. The most important thing you can ever be to another Christian is a good testimony and cause them to want to get closer to God, like we preached on last night. When my wife was going through some real rough stuff years ago, the way she handled it provoked me to want to pray more. The way she handled it made me want to read my Bible more. Amen. Because what I was dealing with was nothing compared to what she was going through. And she kept a good testimony and a good spirit. And it put me under conviction. And that's what we ought to do for one another. We ought to encourage one another to draw closer to God. So I got in my Bible next to that verse. It says Susan, see? Because that's what she does. That's what you and I are supposed to do for one another. And then verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. In our text tonight, it says the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And here the passage says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now listen, my wife, she's the one with the college degrees, and she's the one that does the homeschool, and she's the one that knows all about grammar and English and parts of speech and all that stuff. I know about other stuff. Some of it I'm trying to forget. But I know this. That sentence right there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that there, that's not a request. It's not preceded like Romans 12, where he said in verse 1, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul knows that if you would get a grip on serving God sacrificially, holy, acceptable, is reasonable, and that you can find the perfect will of God by not being conformed to this world, by letting the Word of God transform your mind, that'd be the best thing you could do for you. And he precedes this. I beseech thee. He's begging you, man. Let God do you a favor. But I don't find that here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is an imperative sentence. In other words, it's a command. The first reason tonight to be in church every service you can the rest of your life. Very simply tonight, it's a commandment of the Scripture. Amen. We don't like that. Amen. It doesn't say once a week. It doesn't say when it's convenient or it doesn't conflict with something. It says you're supposed to be there, not forsaking the assembling. Amen. Forsake means to quit. Forsake means to desert. Forsake means to renounce. That song, Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. Folks, in your Bible and you get a hold of some church history, there wasn't that many hundreds of years ago. People were killed because they would not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. That's why you and I have a Bible on our lap that we don't read as much as we should. But the definition of forsake is renounce. So if you're not showing up at church like you ought to and you could be there, what are you, renouncing Christ? It's a little more serious than, gee, I don't feel like it. My wife and I have never, ever had this conversation right here. Honey, you feel like going to church tonight? That's never happened. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I haven't felt like it. But it never entered my mind that I wasn't going to do it. Amen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together tonight is a command. But again, like I say, we don't like commands. We don't like being told what to do. Even saved folks. Amen. Every pastor in America knows that. I got the job, man. Evangelist is good. I get to come in, nail everybody for a couple days, and get out. These pastors that deal with people all the time, I'd rather be on the side of the highway with a bus on fire. And I've already done that this year. Been there. I go up and kick that thing when it makes me mad. Amen. So let me say this, because, taking into consideration, we don't like to be commanded. The command, and it is, you can't get around it. But the command is not for your hardship. It's for your good. It's for your own good. Go back to Acts chapter 4. And let's look at that thing. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look what happened here. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them. Why? Because they're where they were supposed to be. Now, grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Remember that grace? Remember that grace that God bestowed on you by your faith in what his son Jesus Christ did on the cross? That's how you got saved, if you are. Amen? Do you think that's all the grace you're going to need? Amen? Do you think you can always sing an amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? But I got news for you. Amen. We need grace in this life. Now go to your Bible, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. I'll prove it to you. Paul says in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. And I got news for you, friend, tonight. You got a King James Bible in your hand. You've been given an abundance of revelation. You need to be careful not to get proud, too. That's what that's about. And it says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me again, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Three times, this is the apostle. Yeah, if anybody was ever tapped in, this is the fella. But verse 9 says this, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. I know some folks that can that have handled some infirmities, that have been through some rough stuff and some distresses and some of the things that are in the next verse. I know, but I've never met anybody that gloried in them. We can handle some stuff, but you know what? That grace got Paul through all the rough stuff that come his way in life. And that grace is sufficient for you and I. Yeah, I thank God for that saving grace. But boy, I tell you what, you and I need that sufficient grace, amen, that'll get us through whatever lies ahead, and God get the glory. And I'm going to tell you what, the formula seems to be in Acts chapter 4, that great grace was upon all these folks simply because they were where they were supposed to be. So, the command, the commandment of Scripture to be in church, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's a command, granted, but it's a command for your good. And because you need all the grace you can get. And so do I. And that's not all. It's for your growth. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter tonight. In chapter 1, and look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. Now you're supposed to add something. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Seems like there's a little more to this than just getting saved and learning how to sing Kumbaya. Amen. The commandment of not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, of ourselves together tonight, number one, it's for your good. But it's for your growth. It's for your growth. You grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by what you learn where? In church. Amen. Every Christian I ever met, anybody that's ever saved, if you're saved, you're down here by where it says faith. And then it says add to your faith. And I know people have been in ministry 50 years, and they're somewhere up at the other end of that list. But every one of you is somewhere on that list if you're saved. But none of us arrived yet. Ain't none of us done. Ain't none of us as close to God as we need to be. Because when you're as close to God as you need to be, you're going to be right with Him to be absent from the body present with the Lord. So as long as you're alive, amen, you need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Where are you going to do that? Where are you going to learn how to do those things that I just read? Watching Benny Hinn on television? Written videos about the crucifixion. Where are you going to get this stuff? Going to get it off some liberal teacher in Colorado or Los Angeles? You're going to add your faith in church. And you need to. The Baptist National Anthem ought to be Amazing Grace. But I'm afraid that some of us think it's just as I am. And I tell you what, I'd be the first one to confess that I am glad for the truth tonight that God will save you just as you are. I'll tell you what, Lord Jesus Christ got in a jail cell with me 15 and a half years ago. I'm glad I didn't have to clean up my act. If I could have cleaned up my act, what would I have needed Him for? I'm glad I came to a church that didn't expect me to get everything straightened out before I came. Because if I could have got everything straightened out, what would I have needed to come for? Yeah. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, man. If God will save you just as you are because He has to. But He really doesn't expect you to stay that way. If He did, amen, all you need is the Gospels. What would you need the Pauline epistles for? What are they there? To teach you how to grow. Amen. And to be used of God. Amen. The command, it's a command, but it's not for your hardship. It's for your good. It's for your growth. I tell you what else it is. It's for the glory of God. You know what? Where the rubber meets the road, friend, tonight is this. That book says obedience is better than sacrifice. Now that's how God looks at it. And we think, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll give this and I'll work this in. And we think we're doing God a favor by sacrificing whatever it is, time, money, attention, affection, on our terms. I'm going to tell you what gives God glory, doing what He said. And I'm going to tell you what He said. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So number one tonight, reasons why you ought to be in church every service. Your church. Amen. every service from now on. And number one is because it's a commandment of Scripture. The Lord said to be there. All right? Number two, turn to John 15. John chapter 15. And look in verse 3. Look what it says. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, if this is the Lord speaking, and he's talking to people right now, who he addressed right then was some people he'd been talking to. They were at church. The Lord was doing the preaching. And there's an invitation. Only he can give you that one. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Let me give you another reason tonight to be in church every service. Because of the cleansing that it secures. Amen. First of all, it's a commandment of Scripture. But because of the cleansing, it secures. Now, I've been up here. This is my second time. And you know, you guys have known me. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I go to good church. I got a great occupation. Now you found out I got a wonderful family. But you know, you've read the track. God, like you, God saved me out of a life of sin. Now, I used to be in motorcycle gangs. Amen. And I know this might come as a shock to some of you. Amen. It might. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just, back in the old days, I didn't bathe as often as I do now. I mean, it just wasn't high on our priority list to take a shower every day. Amen. Do I have you spellbound or what? Amen. Usually, you know, if you're paying attention, you chuckle right then. And, there was a way when I knew I needed to find somebody that still had, you know, their water on. You know, your air starts to itch a little bit. And the first thing you do, you tie it back, you know. And you go, I said somewhere a week or two, you know, and I think some lady started to faint, so I won't say that. But, you go a little while longer. And then when, you know, you finally come to the point where you realize, man, I need to take a shower or something. And I'd find somebody still had their water turned on and get in there in that shower, stand there. That's right, I didn't take a bath. You've seen the water that came off of me. Amen. And stand there on that thing, let that water rinse through you and get cleaned up. And I mean, invariably, I'd say something like this. Man, this feels pretty good. I ought to do this more often. Amen. My wife wanted me to sign a prenuptial agreement when we got married that I would take a shower every day. I said, I do take a shower every day. She goes, yeah, but you might backslide. Amen. Then I got saved. I got a job working construction. 38 years old, I'm climbing steel, putting up red iron buildings. You know, I was the only guy in the crew that could walk a 35-foot beam, 6-inch beam, walk from one side to another. I was a paratrooper many years ago. That didn't scare me. But I'm up there, I'm trying to pull up purlins with a rope and put buildings together, trying to keep up with 18, 19-year-old laborers. I'm 38 years old, man. I'm telling you what, it wore me out. There were times I'd get so dirty, I'd be so tired. I'd drive to where my little apartment, upstairs apartment, and I'd pull up front and say, man, I am too tired to walk up them stairs. I'm just going to sleep here in the car and go to work tomorrow. I mean, that thought caused my mind. I was that tired, filthy, dirty. And I'd drag myself out of the car, and I'd drag myself up the stairs, and I'd get in the bathroom, and I'd get in a shower, and that water would start running. And you know what I'd do? And it rejuvenates you. And after getting clean, start feeling, wow, I don't feel so bad. I'm going to tell you something. We meet on Sunday and we meet on Wednesday, generally. That's a long time between services. You know why it is? Because you men, you work out there in that world. And the music and the filthy conversation and all that stuff, And I tell you what, you can't help but get it on you. The things that people talk about, things that you're tempted to look at. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? You're in church on Sunday, and amen, and that's good. And then you go to work for 2 days, 3 days. You work on Wednesday. Man, don't you look forward to getting in church on Wednesday night and getting in a place where ain't nobody taking the Lord's name in vain, getting in a place where ain't nobody blowing smoke in your face, getting a place where your wife's safe, where the music ain't making the devil happy. Boy, I tell you what, it's good. I like getting into a place that's clean, amen. And then Jesus said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about washing, chapter 5, washing of water by the word. And you get under the preaching of the word of God. And I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll clean up your heart. It'll clean up your home. And it'll clean up your habits. It's good to go to church. Then you got to go back out there and deal with everything for a couple more days. And praise the Lord, it's Sunday again. I love coming to church. Amen. Somebody said, well, you have to love it. You're a preacher. No, maybe that's why I'm a preacher. I loved it before I was a preacher. Before I was an evangelist, I was an usher. For 4 years, I stood at the back door of Charity Baptist Church, and with all sincerity, anybody that came into them doors, I tracked them down. I'd give them a visitor's card. I'd give them a sincere welcome. But East Step used to say, we'd have our camp meeting, and Brother Piet's been there and his wife, and he'd say, we're going to conduct this service decently and in order and in English. You know what he's talking about, don't you? And he said, if you feel led to praise the Lord or whatever in some unknown tongue, that fellow right back there, and there's 600 people in the place, 600 people, and everybody turned to the back doors and looked. There I'd be standing there. He'd say, David, raise your hand, and I'd raise my hand. He said, that fellow right there will show you out. And I'd stand there going, come on. Oh, my. I'll tell you what, maybe that's why God let me be an evangelist. Because I was the best church member I could possibly be for 7 years. And God said, okay, now you can get out there. How about you tonight? Do you love coming to church? Then be there. Be there every service. Amen. It's good. I'll tell you another reason. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I got a lot of reasons, so you know, don't even start getting edgy yet. Oh, yeah. Acts chapter 2. It's Friday, man. It's early. Amen. Nuts won't be on the road till midnight tonight. You'll be home before then. Well, Brother Zudi might not be. He's got a long way to go. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Look what it says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Well, I guess you got a bunch of people under the preaching of the Word of God again. They were somewhere where the Word was being proclaimed. It looked to me like they were at church. It says in the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now look here. Wouldn't you have hated to have missed that Sunday? You know, in the old days, the reason I rose in rank in the gang that I was in is because I was very active. This is why. I hated being told what I missed. I couldn't stand it. I wanted to be the one telling. Amen? How would you like to have been the one that somebody says, oh man, you should have been there this morning. 3,000 people got saved. I'd have hated to have heard that. I'd rather be the one on the phone, wouldn't you? I'm going to tell you a reason to be in church every service is because of the converts who surrender. Now, look here. I've been in services where 30-some got saved, jail services, prison services. Somebody say, you think they all got it? I don't care. I think a couple of them did. That's worth my time. Amen. Some idiot asked me one time, Brother Spurgeon, you think anybody really gets saved in jail? He is discouraged, you know, because they wouldn't come to church. I said, that's about the stupidest thing you could have asked me, wasn't it? Hey, look here, I'm not discouraged because I never seen 3,000 or 300 or 30. I was in a church service in wherever I was, Plainville, Connecticut, last Sunday, and a 50-year-old man walked the aisle and got saved. That was enough for me to be glad I was there. I like being where God's moving. I understand we're in the last days, but I still like it when one gets saved. I still like seeing that. That's what keeps this thing real to me. Amen. Converts that surrender. Amen. If you just hit and miss and you don't ever see the Spirit of God move, it's easy. The devil will knock you out. He can get you off alone. He'll take you down. He really will. Amen. There's not strength in number, but there's strength in unity. That's why them folks in Acts chapter 4, it didn't say there how many there was, but it said they're of one soul. Good reason to be in church is because of the converts that surrender. I'll tell you what, I've seen converts, not brand new ones, older saved people. I've seen them come down to the altar and get right with God, just surrender to the Holy Ghost. Folks that had been out of sorts with their family, out of sorts with another church member, out of sorts with God, and be brought up on the prayer list. And old church pray for so-and-so. And then I remember one night, whoever it was, so-and-so made it into the church, and the preacher preached, and the Spirit of God got over this guy, and he came down to the altar, and man, his wife's crying. There's people in the church that have been praying for this fella, and he's up there doing business with God, and I tell you, he did too, man. He's up there a while, and he's crying. He's a tough guy. He ain't no wimp. Big old guy. But I'm going to tell you what. He is more concerned with what God thought than anybody else. Finally. He surrendered. He gave in. He got tired of fighting. And he got up. But when he got up, he didn't go back to his seat. He didn't go back to where his wife was. Boy, I'll never forget it. I'll tell you what he did. He got up and he looked around the church and he found that brother that he was at odds with. And he found that brother that the tension between them was affecting the whole church. And instead of going back and sitting down, he headed across the church and he stuck his hand out that brother and he said this. He said, "I'm sorry. I was wrong. I didn't give you the benefit of the doubt. Will you forgive me?" And of course, that brother, I'm going to tell you what, when a man will humble himself and admit he's wrong and ask forgiveness, I'm going to tell you what, that's the kind of thing I like to see. That's the kind of thing that reminds me this is real. And I've seen another kind of convert surrender. I've seen men come forward in a church service and get with their family around an old-fashioned altar and pray. And when it's all said and done, get up and say, "God has spoken to our heart about going to Africa or New Guinea." Yeah. And we've surrendered to go. Amen. And I'll tell you what, any of them things, when a man, woman, boy, or girl surrender to the Holy Spirit and get saved, when a man will humble himself, amen, and ask forgiveness from his wife, publicly ask forgiveness from a brother, when a man will forsake the luxury and comfort of America and take his family to the mission field, that's the kind of thing that keeps me in mind that this thing that we're involved in, of this Bible Christianity, that's what reminds me that this is real. Is more real than anything I have been involved in my life. Those are things I'm glad I didn't miss. Why I come every service? Because it's a commandment of the Scripture. Because of the cleansing it secures. Because of the converts that surrender. Turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Look at verse 1. How good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brethren, if you're saved in here tonight, that's what you are. Amen. I'll tell you what a church service is. Church service is a communion of the saints. Amen. It's where, what are we here for? Because of our common faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Called to be saints. A church service is a family reunion. That's what he said. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's a family reunion. A couple times a week. Praise the Lord. It's more edifying than the one you go to when you skip Sunday morning service. Oh, yeah, I've seen it happen a couple times. It's more than that. It's a feast of rejoicing. Church service, communion of the saints. It's a feast of rejoicing. Right there is the main course. The Word of God. Where else are you going to go during the course of a week where the conversation is going to be on the Lord and the Lord's book? Amen. I mean, you know, you're not going to go to work. And if you work with lost people and sit around and talk about how good God is, but you can't hear, you get amen here. I tell you, here's what we do. It's good to be saved. God's good. I'm thinking, boy, are them understatements or what? We don't even have the language to describe how great God is. One day we will, though. Oh, I'm looking forward. I told you I don't speak Hebrew. I got a feeling one day I might. Amen, but it'll be in heaven. I'm not taking the Evelyn Wood speed reading course or whatever that stuff is. Tell you what else. Communion of the saints is a fellowship of the redeemed. Because if you're saved here tonight, that's what you are. You are redeemed. You have been bought back by the blood of God, Acts chapter 20, from the devil. And I tell you what, I travel around the country and I get up north here, way up north, and I get way down south, and I've been over there in the swamps of Louisiana with the Cajuns. Amen. They talk funnier than you guys.
I'm just kidding. No, they don't. No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. I get out there in California. Amen. And you know what? God's people are different. 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 Different tastes, different appetites. Different opinions, but I'm going to tell you what, regardless of where I go, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I can go, I can fit in with any crowd anywhere. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we might think differently about some things. We might have had a different upbringing. We might have different opinions. But if you're saved and right with God, amen, oh, we got more in common than we got different. That's because a church service is a fellowship of the redeemed. And we got that in common tonight. Here's what that boils down to. The only good thing about any of us is Jesus Christ. Boy, if we can get a hold of that and leave our stinking pride out there on the street, and come in here and worship God in spirit and truth and know that any good thing we say or do is because He's been better to us than we deserve, we can rejoice in the Lord. That's a church service. That's real church service. Forget religion. Forget going through the motion. Forget mechanical. Puke on that mess. Man, I don't want nothing to do with religion. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, I love coming to church. It's something else, too. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We'll look in verse 33. I think we were here last night. Verse 33, and the Lord speaking to believers again, He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, here we go again, man. This is like Hebrews 10:25. That's not a suggestion. Amen. The Lord's not beseeching anybody. That is a command. If you're saved, you're supposed to quit worrying about all the things that everybody else is worrying about, verse 31 and 32, and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trust God to take care of all those things that are so important. Now, it's a command. But it's your choice to obey the command. So one reason to be in church every service is because of the choice that it shows. You know what it does? It declares your priorities. I mean, I'm busy. Are you busy? Yeah. Amen. One of the jokes at our church, when I go home, I talk to somebody. I say, why don't you come over and help me in your spare time? I don't even know anybody that's got any spare time. But I tell you what, when we stop what we're doing in our busy life in fast-paced America, when we stop what we're doing on the appropriate day, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or during the course revival, and go in and get cleaned up and walk out with our Bible in our hand, no matter what it is we might have thought we needed to do, when it's church time, bless God, we're going to be in church, that shows your priorities to a lost and dying world. And you better understand tonight, your neighbors are noticing that. Oh, well, they never say anything. You stop coming and you see what they say. Here's what they're going to say to themselves. I knew it was just a phase. I knew that wasn't really much to that church thing. I'll just stay here and I'll cut my grass, go fishing, play golf. So-and-so's a Christian. They don't go all the time. I'm going to tell you what. You need to be in church because of the choice it shows. It declares your priority to your family. It declares your priorities to your brethren. I remember being in church and as a young Christian and trying to get a handle on all this. And there's a fella, he's a pretty good guy, and I kind of looked up to him. Been at it a while, and then his seat was empty. I thought, man, better pray for him. Surely he's sick. Seat's empty a week later. I went to the pastor, I'd say, hey man, what happened to Joe? Oh well, you know, Joe got mad. Pray for him that he'll come back. That bummed me out. As a young Christian, that disappointed me, that discouraged me. Thank God there was enough other steadfast, solid men in the church that were faithful that I could, follow their example. How would a person feel if he followed your example tonight? What do you think it's like for a pastor to labor in prayer over the Word of God, taking your family and your needs to the throne of grace and asking God to speak to him through the Word of God so that he can minister to you? And then come in with a message that he hopes will help, and you didn't even bother to come. I'll tell you what it does. It discourages him. And too much of that goes on, and the devil's waiting to move in. Say, see, you ain't making no difference. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be encouraging our preachers, our pastors, and holding them up. And God forbid we ever be guilty of discouraging them. You coming to church just shows your choice. Joshua said this, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen? You know what you did today? You chose who you were going to serve. You're in church tonight, praise the Lord. But you know what you're going to have to do tomorrow? You're going to choose again. Choose you this day, and it's Sunday. Choose you this day, Wednesday. Amen. But that choice will show what's important to you. Really important to you. Okay, here's where I'd say, last of all. Back to Hebrews 10. Some of you have been done for about 15 minutes. I'll be done in about 15 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10. Back to our verse there. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Somebody tell me what day they're talking about. Now here's the reason to be in church every service, because of the coming of the Savior. Notice he says, as ye see the day approaching. This world doesn't have a clue about the Lord coming back. He's not talking to them. He's talking to you. Talking to you, brethren. You, beloved. You, believer. Amen. As ye see. See, if you're in your Bible, you got a clue. You got a hint. You know the times and the seasons. We don't know the day. But we're supposed to be looking for him. Amen. This world doesn't see the day approaching. They're not looking for him. Probably 99% of Christianity is not looking for him either. Man, most people out there today that claim to be Christians, they don't know if he's coming back. They don't know when he's coming back. They don't have a clue. Here's what most people are doing. They're increasing, they're building, they're adding to the kingdom. They think that, I guess we're all going to get together for a big giant group hug somewhere and usher in the kingdom. Friends, we're living in the kingdom mankind ushered in. Get a hold of the headlines. There's wars going on all over this world. There's unspeakable, abominable crimes going on all over this world against children, all that junk. This is the fruit of man's best effort. The kingdom is going to be brought in by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the command is, we're supposed to be looking for it. How do you know? Well, I learned it in church. How do I know when the Lord's coming back? I didn't get it off the radio. I learned it at church. I go to Sunday school. I'm a firm believer in going to Sunday school. Unless you know everything. If you know everything about the Bible, you don't have to go. But you need to tell your pastor. Say, Pastor, you know, I don't need to be taught. I already know everything. And you know what he'll say? Good. I'll make you a Sunday school teacher. And you'll still have to be there an hour early. Say, how do you know you're supposed to look for his appearing? I learned it. That book says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, there's a crown laid up for me because, and for them, not to me only, but for them also that love his appearing. We're supposed to look for it. And we're supposed to love it. Do you love it? Would it be good? If the Lord came back tomorrow, would it interfere with some of your plans? Oh, that'd be too bad. I don't have one plan, one goal, one desire, one dream, or one problem that the rapture wouldn't take care of right now. Amen? I'll tell you what else I learned in church. We're supposed to live in light of his appearing. Why? Because where somebody else spends eternity depends on it. How seriously we take all this? What kind of witness you are? That book says, occupy till I come. Too many Baptists have decided that that means occupy a couch in front of a big screen TV. Too many have decided that means occupy a desk chair in front of that internet. Amen. Too many have decided that means occupy a table at some restaurant. That's not what it means. Whether people spend eternity depends on how seriously you take living for Jesus Christ. So how do you know? I learned it in church. Let me tell you something tonight. Brother East Step said, Brother David, stay in church. Stay on your knees. They said, stay in your Bible. Stay on your knees. And stay in church. I'm going to tell you what now. Folks get saved out of rough life like I did. And I'm sure long way from the only one. But I'm going to tell you, why David Spurgeon is still in church, still why I'm anywhere near the will of God, let alone in the ministry. It's because as a young Christian, I got a hold of this thing right here. Be in church every time you can. And ones that get saved in jail, get saved in the street, get saved wherever, that don't ever achieve the victory that the Lord would have them achieve. The reason is because, whatever the reason, they couldn't stay in, couldn't get in, never nailed this thing, this simple thing about if your church is meeting, you're supposed to be there. And I thank God for pastor that drilled that into my head. I wouldn't want to be in the wrong place. I wouldn't want to be playing golf ever, to be honest with you, personally. Yeah, I don't. Somebody said, "Brother Spurgeon, I don't think you can be called a preacher if you don't play golf." I said, "If you knew what I used to say about golfing," and then I says, "I didn't get that saved, man. I ain't no golf. But golf's okay. I just ain't coordinated enough to do it." But I wouldn't want to be on a golf course on Sunday morning if the Lord decided to come. I wouldn't want to be hunting or fishing or at, I won't say that. Yeah, well, Disney World, it's in my notes. If the Lord decided to come on a Sunday, that's not where I'd want to be. I mean, I enjoy doing a lot of things, but when it's time to be in church, by the grace of God, that's where you're going to find me and my family. How about you tonight? I'll close with this. See, we say last of all, and then we say I'll close. And then Earl, you said, give me just 5 country minutes. And nobody even knows what that means. I don't even know. I've known him for 10 years. I've been out of jail about a couple of weeks. And I come into our church one night, and I was running a little late. And I was still young in the Lord, hair down the middle of my back, black leather jacket. I'm on my way in to church. I come in through the basement, and they're upstairs, they're singing. And I'm only about 5 minutes late. And I got going across the fellowship hall. Brother, you've been down there, nice and bright. Back in the old days, it had 1 Corinthians 13 stenciled all around the border, the verse on charity, chapter on charity, that's the name of our church. It's in yellow, pastels, you know, all them colors that, like we used to paint our clubhouses. And I got coming in the back door, and I'm walking across there, and I can hear them singing, and I'm trying to make it to the stairs, get up there and slip into the service. And I'm telling you what, it was real to me. It was so real. It was like, what are you doing here? It was like a voice in my head, you know. And the place was clean and well lit, not like the places I'd spent the previous 15 years. And there's Bible on the wall. Place smelled good, didn't smell like liquor, didn't smell like dope, didn't smell like tobacco. And I'm walking across, I did, I smelled like tobacco back then. I'm walking across the fellowship hall, and it was like, who are you trying to kid, Spurgeon? How long do you think you're going to be able to keep this up? You ever had a voice in your head talk to you like that? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I hadn't been saved very long, about 2 months. Only been out of jail a couple weeks, but I'm going to tell you, I thank God. I don't even know why I knew to do this, but I'll tell you what I did. I dropped to my knees right there at the foot of the stairs before I went upstairs to the auditorium. And I said, God, would you let me make it? Yeah. I mean, I've been at church just long enough to hear some stories about some guys that got saved in prison or saved out of some lifestyle and how they played the game for a little while and conned some people. And isn't it a blessing when people tell you stories like that to encourage you? I'll tell you what, I was so serious. I dropped to my knees on the stairs. Wasn't nobody around. And I said, God, I really do want to make it. I don't want to be another sad story. I don't want to be another bad testimony. I mean, I don't even know. What am I doing here, God? I need you to help me. I went on upstairs, slipped in the back door, got me a hymnal and started singing. And I'm going to tell you what, I've never been tempted like that again. And my question for you is this. Have you ever got on your face before God and prayed and asked Him to let you, to help you make it? Well, I had to. But I think we got the empty seats in some of our churches testify to the fact that some people get saved and quit smoking and quit cussing and learn where the hymnal is and get a couple Bible verses under them, and then they just start taking it for granted they're going to make it. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And all I know is this. I don't want to fall. And I know this too. I could. But I don't want to. I really don't want to. I didn't get started on this thing late in life for something to do. To try it out. Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my soul. I didn't want to go to hell, man. And I thank God tonight I'm not over what the Savior did. And I don't want to let Him down. How about you tonight? Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith." And I tell you what I want to do. I want to finish my course. Don't you? Well, I got some good advice for you tonight. You better nail this thing down about being in church faithfully from here on out. Somebody said, "Well, we are talking. You don't have to be. You don't have going to church. Going to church. Here's how I went. Going to church doesn't make you spiritual." No, it doesn't. There's people who go to church 7 days a week. They're not. They're not only not spiritual. They're on their way to hell. But brother Piet and I agreed, spiritual people, everyone I ever met, went to church. So what about you tonight? Now I'm going to say this, and I'll really probably maybe be done. I believe, now you've got this for the last hour, that I believe it's important to be in church. I really do. I really do. But I'll say this, in all fairness, you can be in church 7 days a week, three times a day. But if you're not saved, that is not going to get you into heaven. Everything I've talked about tonight is for the believer. Say, what's that? Believe that Jesus Christ. That Bible said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you're saved here tonight, you need to be in church. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to